And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Tommy Robinson, Islam, and we're going to talk about the FBI. Tommy Robinson, Islam, and the FBI. Tommy Robinson, as many people know, has been arrested and convicted over in the UK again. He suffered one conviction. Now they have convicted him again for basically reporting on these Islamic rape gangs over in the UK. He is asking President Trump for political asylum here in the United States, and we sincerely hope and pray that President Trump will grant him political asylum for him and his family. But first, we're going to talk about the situation with Islam and the FBI, because we think it directly pertains to what's going on over in the United Kingdom and what could be happening here in the not too distant future. I found it very, very peculiar that during the whole Trump-Russia collusion investigation that's been led by Robert Mueller, that anybody actually allowed this guy in particular to run the investigation. And the reason is because Mueller had been the director of the FBI under the Obama administration. And during that time, he specifically, I mean, he was the guy who got rid of many training materials. Here's the headline. And this is from Judicial Watch. It says, a Russia special counsel Mueller worked with radical Islamist groups to purge anti-terrorism training material offensive to Muslims. Okay? And this is something we had done a story on this. Probably it's been more than a year since we did a radio program talking about that. But yeah, this is one of the things that Mueller did. He met with these guys who were ecumenists. One of them was an evangelical. One of them was an Islamic imam, etc. And they all talked about how it was just inappropriate to associate Islam with terrorism. And so here's what this says. It says, quote, as FBI director, Mueller bent over backwards to please radical Islamist groups and cave into their demands. The agency eliminated the valuable anti-terrorism training material and curricula after Mueller met with various Islamist organizations, including those with documented ties to terrorism. Now, what this story is not talking about is how there were these ecumenist ministers from other religions that were involved with this as well, okay? That they were involved. And this was all being played like it was some, you know, equality, ecumenical thing, that it's not fair to target Islam, that kind of thing. So it goes on to say that there were two organizations, the Islamic Society of North America and the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, named by the U.S. government as unindicted co-conspirators in the 2007 Holy Land Foundation terrorist financing case. It goes on to say that FBI Director Mueller assured the Muslim groups that he had ordered the removal of presentations and curricula on Islam from FBI offices nationwide. The purge was part of a broader Islamist operation designed to influence the opinions and actions of persons, institutions, governments, and the public at large. Then it goes on from there. Now, all this happened, of course, under Barack Obama. But Mueller was the guy. He was the guy in the FBI who oversaw the removal of this information, which it seems utterly absurd that a decision like this would be made by the Federal Bureau of Investigations. I mean, they're not supposed to be involved in political correctness or anything like that. They're supposed to maintain, you know, part of maintaining neutrality is that you don't take sides. You don't form an opinion, but you don't get rid of, I mean, you form an opinion, but you don't get rid of evidence that shows a pattern of behavior. If you've got 20 groups that are all associated with mosques and they're all shouting Allah Akbar and they're all planning these different operations, you don't ignore that those details. I mean, no, it's unheard of that investigators would ignore things like that. No, you would, just like when they do profiling for serial killers and criminals and things like that, they look for patterns of behavior. What's the pattern of behavior? What are the pattern of associations, etc.? That's what investigators typically do. But somehow or other, all of that is thrown out the window when Mueller is dealing with Islam. Now, here's why I think it's significant where Trump is concerned, because probably one of the biggest things that Donald Trump was known for, probably the biggest thing, was his stand on immigration. And with that, when he openly called for a ban, a complete and total ban on Muslims coming into the country, to call for a ban for any and all Muslims coming into the United States until, he said, we can figure out what's going on. And that was part of Trump's platform, and he was heavily supported by many Americans because of that. And then, of course, the left began yelling, you know, bigotry and racism and all this other kind of stuff. And it has made me, and I think probably others, wonder if the Mueller investigation was not more of a distraction than anything else, was more of a distraction to try and keep Trump and his administration from actually following through on the things he said he was going to do to prevent the continued flow of Muslims into the United States. I mean, Hillary, her right-hand person was a Muslim woman, and she and Hillary were talking about flooding the United States with Muslims. They wanted to increase the flow of Muslims into our country by 500%. That's what was being reported prior to the election. Well, all of that came to an end with the election of Donald Trump as president. So then what happens? So then they begin this whole Russia collusion narrative that has been completely absurd and has been a huge distraction to try and entangle Trump and his administration in this nonsense. But who do they get to do it? They get Mueller. Mueller, who has really, I mean, when he was director of the FBI, you can go back earlier than Obama, he was appointed by George W. Bush. Bush was a globalist. There's no question about that. There has been all sorts of suspicion around 9/11. And interestingly, Mueller was appointed as the FBI director on September the 4th of 2001. So just a week before the attacks took place in New York. He's appointed on September 4th. The attacks happened on September the 11th. So then you go from there and see the FBI, and I'm giving you backstory before we go and talk more about this Front Page Mag article where they show FBI Director James Comey shaking hands with a Muslim in a suit. And the headline says, "Do suit-wearing jihadis own the FBI? Deadly infiltration." That's the story at Front Page Mag. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, there's actually years of associations and evidence that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye where the FBI and Islam is concerned. Now, here's an article from the New York Post. This is a couple of years ago, back in 2016. And the headline from the Post said, quote, "How U.S. covered up Saudi role in 9/11. In other words, how the United States covered up the Saudi role in 9/11. Then it talks about it says, quote, in its report on the still-censored 28 pages implicating the Saudi government in 9/11, 60 Minutes last weekend said the Saudi role in the attacks has been soft-pedaled to protect America's delicate alliance with the oil-rich kingdom. And then it goes on from there. Now, I've heard this for years. I mean, I've heard people say that they think, you know, it made no sense that if we were going to go to war anywhere but Afghanistan, because Afghanistan is where Al-Qaeda was. So if we're going to go anywhere but Afghanistan, why did we go into Iraq? That didn't make any sense. I've heard people say we should have gone into Saudi Arabia because that's where a majority of the hijackers were from. In fact, a member of the Saudi royal family, Prince Bandar, this has been brought up over and over again, transferred $130,000 from then Saudi ambassador Prince Bandar's family checking account to yet another of the hijackers' Saudi handlers in San Diego. So here you've got money changing hands from the Saudi ambassador Prince Bandar here in the United States. And this should have been, of course, investigated. And so you've got... But it says, quote, but Bandar held sway over the FBI. After he met on September 13th, 2001 with President Bush in the White House, where the two old family friends shared cigars on the Truman balcony, the FBI evacuated dozens of Saudi officials from multiple cities, including at least one Osama bin Laden family member on the terror watch list. Instead of interrogating the Saudis, FBI agents acted as security escorts for them, even though it was known at the time that 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi citizens. Then it goes on. It says the FBI was thwarted from interviewing the Saudis we wanted to interview by the White House, said former FBI agent Mark Rossini, who was involved in the investigation of Al-Qaeda and the hijackers. The White House, quote, let them off the hook. And this is under Bush now. This is before Obama ever shows up. And Bush, let's remember, when Bush was in the White House, even though evangelicals overwhelmingly supported him, I remember this because I would not vote for Bush because of his involvement in the Skull and Bone Society. I certainly didn't vote for Al Gore. So don't send me an email about that. But nevertheless, I didn't vote for Gore, but I didn't vote for Bush either. And... While the evangelicals heavily supported Bush, nevertheless, Bush is on camera and he's being asked by Charlie Gibson, and we show this clip in one of our films, he's being asked if he believes that both Christians and Muslims go to heaven, and he says, I think we do, meaning both Christians and Muslims. And he said they were just different routes to finding God. So he openly supported the idea, the ecumenical view of Islam, that there's many paths to God, and Islam is supposedly just one of the paths to finding God. Which, if you study groups like the Freemasons, the Skull and Bones, etc., they all generally have that belief. And of course, there's the theological side, there's what they believe theologically, but then what are the political consequences of it? The political consequences of it are that you see Muslims now who are being sworn into office on copies of the Quran rather than on copies of the Bible. That's the consequence of this kind of interfaith theology, because they're not just believing it, friends. They are believing it because they want it to be empowered politically, and this is how they get subversive groups into our country. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this issue, and we're going to talk about Tommy Robinson and what's happened to free speech in the United Kingdom when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are going to talk now about Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson over in the UK. Tommy Robinson has been a very, very bold witness speaking out against these Islamic rape gangs over in the UK, all over the UK. And he has exposed them for years. He's really, really been a champion of the people of England and really of for Western civilization overall, trying to, you know, struggling to try and save English heritage and English people who are now being systematically trampled on by these Islamic invaders. And they'd never be able to get away with it without the socialist traitors, the globalists, that have infiltrated the government of the United Kingdom. That's the real problem. They're the ones who are enabling this whole thing. But now Tommy Robinson has been convicted again. He's been condemned by a UK court for covering these Islamic rape gangs, and he is making a plea, an appeal, to President Donald Trump for political asylum in the United States of America. I want to play part of his message to President Trump. Listen.
This week I was found guilty on three counts of contempt of court by two judges. There was no jury to find me guilty. Two appointed judges. As I sat in court, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Both judges found me guilty because they believed I breached a reporting restriction on a Muslim child gang rape trial. They also came to a conclusion that me photographing Muslim child rapists while asking them simple questions before they entered court for their verdicts created anxiety for the poor Muslim paedophiles that I'm now to be punished with the full might of the British judicial system. My name, is Tommy Robinson. Today, I'm calling on the help of Donald Trump, his administration, and the Republican Party to grant me and my family political asylum in the United States of America. I'm sat here today before you to make my case of political persecution. I have been found guilty of what is the equivalent of exercising First Amendment rights. Benjamin Franklin had the foresight to know this. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech. For more than 10 years, I've been proactive voice, highlighting in the industrialized grooming, the pimping, the beating and the raping of young, vulnerable British girls up and down the length and breadth of my once great country. Successive British governments have sought to silence me, to persecute me. And for what? Trying to stop vulnerable young girls from being sex slaves to gangs of predominantly predatory Muslim men who drug them, rape them and beat them for years. I have tried and I'll continue to try to get the British government to take action and stop the systematic child abuse that's still going on right now as we sit on screen. These young victims of Muslim rape gangs have been let down so badly. It started at the very top of the Labour-controlled government under Gordon Brown as Prime Minister. The stories are harrowing, disturbing, upsetting. Believe me, I've sat down and I've cried my eyes out. I've sat and heard the stories from victim after victim and family after family.
Okay, and this has been Tommy Robinson's main issue. We've talked about this on our program many times over, the fact that this is what's going on in the UK. If you've not seen the CBN news report that they did some time ago, it's called Easy Meat. It's based on the title of a book from a UK politician, a quote from a UK politician who said that these young girls in England are, quote, easy meat for the Islamic rape gangs who take advantage of them and are systematically violating them. And they've raped more than a million of these young girls, it is reported. And this is what Tommy Robinson has been fighting against for so many years. And he's got a lot of firsthand experience. I mean, if you listen to him talk about these things, he talks in great detail about the stories that have been confirmed through the courts, etc. And this is a very, very real problem. Now, he mentioned Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown, for those who don't remember, was and is a New World Order guy. This is I'm going to play just a short audio clip. This is from back in 2007. This is Gordon Brown talking about the New World Order, the elite's plan for a New World Order. This is just part of his speech. Listen.
In 1990, another old world ended, dominated by the Cold War, and people talked then, in 1990, of a New World Order. What they actually meant then was a new political order. And what was not foreseen then, but is obvious now from everything that we see and do, what we experience in every day of our life, is the sheer scale and speed and scope of globalization.
Okay, so the sheer speed and scope and so on of globalization. And he's Tommy Robinson obviously is holding Gordon Brown accountable for at least some of this rape gang activity. Now, if you read other reports, they will often trace it back to the year 1997, where it appears the epidemic of all of this began. But what are they doing? The socialists, the globalists at work in the UK and the European Union and really across Western Europe, they are bringing in the Muslims deliberately as a foreign army to overthrow Christian civilization. That's what they're doing. And they want to replace Christianity with some kind of Islamic Sharia socialist form of government and society. That's what they are gearing up for. Now, I've come to believe, having studied the movement of socialism with Islam going all the way back to World War I, because that's when Germany was in an alliance with the Ottoman Empire. And this relationship goes back 100 years, easily. And they have been working together, but their common enemy is the Christians and the Jews. So you have the Armenian genocide, where you had both the Muslims and the German socialists working together. Then you had the Holocaust, where again, you had the Nazi socialists in Germany working with Muslims. Now, we have our audio CD on Hitler's Jihad, where I lay out the evidence and go over all kinds of quotes and give you books and references and all this other kind of stuff, because the relationship, many people are not familiar with it. They don't realize that it's not just a coincidence that the Muslims and the socialists are working together. They've been working together for 100 years. This problem did not begin yesterday or 10 or 20 years ago, and it's not because of the Iraq War or something like that. All of those things are the result of this relationship that preceded people like Bush and Obama and the current administration, Gordon Brown over in the UK, and all of these guys were preceded by a movement that involves many people spread out over the last century of history. That's what we have to recognize. And that's why the movement has become so formidable and is so difficult to deal with, because they have been laying the groundwork for what they're doing for decades, while everybody else has, you know, it's almost like Jesus says, while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. I think you could apply that principle to a number of situations. This, in my opinion, would be one of them, where while the Western world was focused on other issues, you had socialists laying the groundwork for Islam in the Western world. And one of the things that that I've shown in the past is the work by Paul Schmidt from 1937. Paul Schmidt, who was a Nazi journalist who wrote a book called All Islam, World Power of Tomorrow, back in 1937. And he predicted a lot of what is happening in the Western world today. All right, we are out of time, brethren. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.